Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I think you're all aware that this month marks the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. And we've been focusing on what we call the solas of the Reformation. The issue that started this movement 500 years ago was the question of how do we receive salvation? Does God require us to add to what Christ did on the cross, or in some way is, excuse me, Dad, let me back up. Does God require us to add to what Christ did on the cross in some way? Or is Christ's life, death, and resurrection sufficient? Does it complete the work for us? The Lutheran reformers, led by Martin Luther, were convinced that the Bible clearly states that we are saved sola Christi, by Christ alone, and that what Christ did for us is a free gift, that is, we are saved by grace alone, that this gift is received sola fide, through faith alone, and this, along with every other doctrine of faith, is found sola scriptura, in Scripture alone. Now, so far we've looked at the first two of those solas, and today we move on to the third. And as we have with the other two, I want us to take a listen to what Dr. Dale Meyer, the president of our St. Louis Seminary, says about sola fide.
By faith alone, sola fide. Lest you and I become complacent, let me read to you again a quotation from Martin Luther. No one will be saved by the faith or righteousness of another, but only by his own. Everyone must believe for himself. Where do you believe? Not just here, but especially here. Luther says, if it is true faith, it is a sure trust and firm acceptance of the heart. It takes hold of Christ in such a way that Christ is the object of faith. Or rather, not the object, but so to speak, the one who is present in the faith itself. A third quotation from Martin Luther, praising faith. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. Pause. Did you hear that? He says the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. You are staking your life on faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Faith alone. Living, daring, confidence in God's grace.
If you were here last week, you may remember that I said in that sermon that theology was always extremely personal for Martin Luther. And that's certainly true when it comes to the matter of faith. But what is faith? I was always told at the seminary, you never preach about faith, you always preach the object of faith, Christ alone. Today we're going to talk about faith. You know, theologians have tried to explain it in various ways. But at least for me, those theological explanations always seem to fall short. See, for Luther, faith in Christ was not just a theological concept. Ultimately, for Luther, faith was Christ, and faith was all about his life, Luther's life, and how he would live it. It had to impact his life if it was his faith. So what gives you security? What do you hold on to in difficult times? What is most important to you? What would you never give up? I believe that Luther would agree that how you answer those questions points to where you place your faith. My question for you to ponder this week is, does your answer to those questions make you able to live your life with confidence? In that little video that Dr. Meyer quoted from Dr. Meyer quoted Martin Luther as saying this, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. When Luther posted those 95 statements for debate on that chapel door of Wittenberg University in October of 1517, he was primarily concerned about one thing, the selling of indulgences. He naively thought it should be easy to clear up the error of this practice. But he was never able to actually address that problem, at least not to the church, the Roman Catholic Church. He was simply told not to challenge the authority of the church. And that's when he saw that the selling of indulgences was simply a symptom of a much bigger problem. The problem was the church's understanding of the gospel, that is, the good news of our salvation in Christ himself. You all know that after years of anguish and uncertainty, Luther had come to know the love and mercy of God. In his study of God's Word, and in particular the book of Romans, Luther had come to see that faith is a gift from God, not an action that we have to perform. Romans 1:16 and 17 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," that is, in the gospel, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." That's a familiar verse to all of us, right? Now that's the English Standard Translation. Here's the way the Bible that the Roman Catholic Church uses, even today, the New Jerusalem Bible translates those two verses. "For I see no reason to be ashamed of the gospel. It is God's power for the salvation of everyone who has faith. Jews first, but Greeks as well. For in the gospel is revealed the saving justice of God, a justice based on faith and addressed to faith. As it says in Scripture, anyone who is upright through faith will live." Did you catch the difference? That last portion of that last verse. The righteous shall live by faith, or anyone who is upright through faith will live. Luther had always been taught that if you're righteous, you will live faithfully. Or to put it negatively, if you aren't living faithfully, you aren't righteous. And as we all know, Luther was all too aware that he wasn't living faithfully as God demanded. If Luther knew anything, he knew that he was a sinner and therefore not righteous. And so in his mind, he was going to hell. But as he studied the Bible, particularly the original Greek text, he saw that the faith by which we live is a faith that clings to the Son of God, who came to die the death sinners deserve. Sinners like Luther and sinners like you and me, and then to rise again so that we might have life through him as a totally undeserved free gift. See, that's what really changed. That's what completely changed Lutheran's understanding of faith and completely changed his life. He saw that God wasn't angry with him. Not because he was so wonderful, not because Luther was so wonderful, but because Jesus died for him. And he came to know that the love of Jesus was sweeter and more valuable even than his own life. The good news, and this good news alone, enabled Martin Luther to face whatever oppression, persecution, or threats of death might come along. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. As I said, for Luther, theology affected his life and how he lived it. And about 3.5 years after posting those 95 theses on that chapel door, we saw how much it affected his life. We saw how personal it became for Martin Luther. In 1521, Charles V, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, called Luther to the city of Worms to meet with him and other Catholic officials to give an answer for what he was teaching. Now, Luther went hoping that he could convince the emperor that he was teaching nothing but what the Bible taught. But when he arrived, he was simply shown a pile of books and papers, asked if they were his, and if they were, if he was ready to reject the teachings that they contained. He tried to explain, but was shouted down, and so he asked for one night to verify that they were his writings, and then to pray. Now, he knew that these authorities could sentence him to death. Luther had already been declared a heretic by the Pope, and the punishment for heresy was death by burning at the stake. Even so, when asked again to recant, to reject what he knew to be the truth of God's word, to reject that which had given him and others so much peace and joy after so many years, Luther is quoted as saying this: "Unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me." Luther was a man of greatness, great faults, but also great faith. He was an amazing man of courage. What he started 500 years ago literally changed Western civilization. But he was never out to do that, because he knew what really changed our world was not him. What changed the world was our God, who so loved his broken creation that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Luther knew he wasn't saved because he was faithful. Rather, he was faithful because he was saved. And the same is true for you and me. As it was for Luther, faith in Christ must not just be a theological concept, not just something that we have here, as Dr. Meyer said, but that we draw deeply into our hearts and make it, know that it is for us personally. Faith is really about our life and how we will live it, as it was for Luther. How would you answer the questions that I asked before? What gives you security? What do you hold on to during difficult times? What is most important to you? What would you never give up? The sad, sad truth for every one of us is that Jesus is not always the answer. If we're honest, we have to admit to one degree or another that there are things in this world that we still cling to and love more than God. And that, my friends, is nothing less than the sin of idolatry. So what are we going to do with that? Do we just promise that we're going to start doing better tomorrow? That's never worked before, at least not for me. See, faith moves us to get honest and confess the truth to God. Faith and trust in the mercy of God enables us to honestly admit to him what we are, that we are weak, that we have failed to live as he would have us live, that all too often we trust in ourselves and the things of this world more than him. And faith enables us to plead to God for his forgiveness and for the strength to put him first, to see Jesus for who he really is and what he has truly done. How many of you have ever seen the movie City Slickers? I'm going off text here, Natalie. Seen the movie City Slickers? It's an older movie. There's one line in that movie that Billy Crystal makes. And he talks about life. That he gets, after going through all that experience with, being out in the desert with, what was his name? Not Shorty. Curly, I think it was. That he gets a do-over. That this allows him to get a do-over. He's going to start things over again. That's what we get each and every day. We get a do-over with God. Did we fail him yesterday? You bet we did. And we wake up this morning and we say, God, give me strength today to live for you. And he says, go for it. You get a do-over. That, I think, is what our confession of sin is to be about. To have faith and trust in the God who gives us that opportunity to have a do-over, even though we know we're going to fail and need to confess again. See, that's what Luther did. He saw his sin for what it is, an offense to his loving God. And when he realized that no matter how hard he tried, that there was nothing he could do about his sin, that his only hope was the mercy of God, then he was able to experience the freedom and that forgiveness for the sake of Christ brings. Excuse me. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they, the people standing around him, said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Listen very carefully. You must have faith to be saved, but your faith doesn't save you. Christ alone saves you. It is the work of God that you believe in him whom he has sent. Faith that is able to trust God as God's work, God's gift to you, and faith that saves trusts only in Christ, not in anything you do. Are you guilty of idolatry? No, you don't worship little stones, but you sure, as I do, worship all kinds of things in my life. But God gives you and me the faith to cling to his Son so that we never despair of his love. And that's why Luther could say, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes people glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. You are saved by Christ alone. This salvation is God's free gift by grace alone. And the ability to trust this promise is the faith that he has given to you. Faith and faith alone. Amen.